We are back, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. The date is July 3rd, 2014. That means it's time for Mickey Fulp's Major Market Review. Mickey, how are you?
Doing well, Kerry. I'm in Vancouver, so we're a day late on doing this, basically, because my research assistant was celebrating Canada Day on July 1. So we just got our data this morning.
All right. And the data, well, this is going to be a great one because everybody's going to be happy this month, right?
Well, a lot of people are happy. We've had all-time highs in the major markets just about across the board with the Dow, the S&P 500, the Russell 2000, and even the Toronto Stock Exchange hitting all-time highs during the month. And those all-time highs actually occurred at the end of the month. And what we're seeing is just this creeping up of all the major markets. Not great rises, but creeping upward and upward. For the half, Dow was up 1.5%. For the first half of the year, S&P 500 returned very nice returns, up 6%. The Nasdaq has yet to reach the dot-com spike of March of 2000. But you take that 1 month out from March of April of 2000, and it's trading at historic highs. Russell 2000 up 2.5% on the year. But the big winner is the Toronto Stock Exchange, up over 11%, finally catching up with the New York markets. And then we have a very strong performance this month by the Toronto Venture Exchange. It's been strong, but on very low volumes. It's trading 1,026 at the end of the month. It's gone up the last couple of days, but that's a very nice return of 10% over the year.
Amazing. The Rodney Dangerfield of stock markets, the Toronto Venture, and it's going up. And what's happening in our developing world markets?
Oh, yeah, I can't forget that. Well, up 5% on the first half of 2014. And it basically has to do with strong economic data out of China this month with PMI above 50. And so things are looking up in China. And so emerging markets have done pretty well first half of the year.
Hey, and then we go to our precious metals sector. Good news there too.
Yeah, we had nice rallies over the month, kind of mid-month lows. There was a buying opportunity in gold in the mid-month, and I took advantage of that. But gold was up 9% the first half of the year, well above 1,300. Silver up 7% over the first half of the year, 4.5% over the quarter, almost 10% over the month. And then you had the really good performers, and that was the platinum, palladium markets. Basically, geopolitics there in South Africa. Platinum up 2% over the month, 9% over the year so far. Palladium, the big performer, over the first half of the year, up almost 18%. But that's really have to do with the strikes in South Africa. The mine strike was settled this month, but now the miners did very well. They got basically a 20% increase in wages, and now everybody else wants them. So the metal workers are going on strike, and engineering firms are going on strike. And so additional labor problems, electrical problems looming because threats of electrical workers going on strike. And that, of course, drives their biggest exports, which are the platinum palladium markets. Copper has hit a four-month high since we had the correction in early March. Once again, that has to do with very strong data coming out of China. And copper continues to rise as we look at it this morning. It's pushing 3.25, and we haven't seen those prices since about the first of the year. But still, copper's down almost 5% over the year.
Yep. And then we look at our ratios. We've had real compression in the gold to silver ratio, huh?
Yeah, it's dropped off a little bit, 63 now, with the you know, as we've talked about ad infinitum or ad nauseum.
Ad nauseum is more like it.
silver is always much more volatile than gold is. And so we've had this nice rally in the precious metals. Silver, of course, has led the way. What's been interesting to me is the platinum-palladium ratio continues to reach historic lows. And, of course, even with the rise of oil, which we'll talk about in a minute, it still takes 12 and a half barrels of oil to buy an ounce of gold.
Fascinating. Okay, so then we go to our energy sector, West Texas.
West Texas crude has reached a high since late August of 2013. Closed the month at a little bit more than $1.05. Brent was up 0.5% over the month at $1.11. And so oils are at these 10-month highs, and it all has to do, it's all geopolitical. If you remember, in August of last year, we were faced with problems in Syria, and now it's the same old thing. Now it's Iraq. So it's one Middle Eastern company blowing up after another. And so oil, as we all know, is the commodity the most driven by geopolitics of the Middle East. Henry Hub has settled in the mid-$4 range. We are in the summer cooling season right now, but I would not expect much volatility in that. Close the month at 443. Uranium stabilized finally over the month at $28 and change. We've been at that for almost well over 2 months now. So we're starting to question, is this our new base? But we said that before. We said it at $50. We said it at $50. We said it at $35, and we said it at $30. But it has stabilized at that range. Yeah. Looking at our ratios, the Brent to WTI arbitrage is continuing to narrow. The only thing I can explain about that is that we react to the geopolitical situation in oil much more than Europe does. That's the only reason I can think of, but that ratio continues to narrow.
And then the West Texas to Henry Hub going back up again.
Yeah, we're at 24 now. We were at 22 and a half last month. And of course that has to do simply with, the natural gas market is a regional market or a national market in the U.S., and the price of Henry Hub natural gas does not reflect anything else that goes on in the world, whereas WTI does.
Yep, exactly. So onward to our currencies.
Yeah, so the dollar index was closed the month a little bit below 80. Spent most of the month above 80 for a change of 0.7%. The euro was up a penny for a change of 0.7%. We should do a correlation quotient.
Yeah,
and I'm sure it's well in the 90s for these two currencies. Kind of the same old, it's no matter what kind of problems Europe seems to have. Well, we had Draghi coming in and doing their version of quantitative easing and saying all options are on the table to stimulate the European Union economies. And so no matter what they seem to do over there, it's the same old, same old. Interestingly enough, the worst performer over the half of the year was the 10-year treasury bonds. Interest rates are down almost 17% over the year. Although we had a little bit of rally, interest rate closed the month at 2.53%. And once again, going shorter in that market was a strategy for a very small period of time, but hasn't really panned out.
Not really. And then we get to Bitcoin. Big news happening there. Had an auction by the U.S. Treasury because they seized 30,000 Bitcoins from that entity called Silk Road, which was kind of an illicit marketplace for drug dealers and other ne'er-do-wells to auction off their goods. And a guy named Draper, who is a venture capitalist, bought all 30,000 Bitcoins for $19 million and took place after the end of the month. But it's caused a rally in Bitcoin.
Yeah, so Bitcoin was down 4% over the month, but in the last couple of days, it's back up above where it was at the beginning of June. Closed the month at $598 and change. Now it's pushing, I think, $640, $650. This is a market that's probably best left for the day traders if you want to speculate in it. Bitcoin was up 31% over the quarter, but down 21% over the first half of the year. Yeah, there was one other interesting thing happened about the middle of the month, if memory serves. There was the revelation that a Bitcoin miner based in London has now seized control of 50% of the mining of Bitcoins in the world. This is of great concern because it looks like they're trying to establish a monopoly on the mining of Bitcoins, which is how they're created, and that could wreak havoc in this market if that were to occur.
Oh, yeah. Yep, because there is around 50% more Bitcoins yet to be mined, so mm-hmm. they say, but we don't really know that. That's what they tell us, and I guess we're going to find out, depending upon this company, what they can do.
I guess we will. It's an interesting little tidbit there, and although I'm not you and I and neither one are very fond of Bitcoins, it is a fascinating story to continue to follow as the most volatile currency, if you want to call it a currency.
Well, it is a currency of some sort, but how it's going to shake out, what form it will finally take, and how the governments will try to destroy it in the end, that's the story. So the final chapter of Bitcoin has yet to be written, and that's what we're all curious to see. So, Mickey, just tell us websites, where we find you, how we subscribe, and all that.
Yeah, well, I run a free email subscription service. You can go to the website, mercenarygeologist.com. You'll see my mugshot, and you sign up by clicking on a banner just below that. We also very active on Twitter with nearly 37,000 Twitter followers at Mercenary Geo. And this interview will immediately go into rotation on mercenarygeologist.fm and replace the one that's been in the rotation for the last month.
All right. And of course, link can be found on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And don't forget, subscribe to our free newsletter. Mickey, we'll talk to you next month.
I look forward to it.